Double, double, toil and trouble.
Give me a podcast on the double.
And this is Strangest Deal.
Coming to the end of October month. Mm-hmm. October month.
October month.
How you feel?
I'm feeling pretty energized.
Yeah, is that why your voice got really high?
I mean, when you get excited about something,
yeah,
you start up high and you get back down low. Am I hitting that right?
How you feel about this month so far?
Spooked and cooked.
Spooked and cooked?
Yeah.
I understand the spookiness. We've got our spooky setup as always. A Minecraft torch. My laptop. And this week, I have a Hi-C Ecto Cooler.
Yep, I've already got one in my belly, absorbing through my nutrient polyps. I don't really know a lot about anatomy. Yeah, Slimer, no sliming. Is that what they say?
We need a Dora the Explorer reboot in the Ghostbusters universe.
Yeah, I've been saying that for years.
That's an oddly specific thing to be saying for years.
You should read my letters.
Oh. Moving on.
Egon the Explorer. It's good.
Nailed it. Nailed it. John, today we're going to talk about witches.
Witches?
Witches.
Which witches?
Salem witches.
Oh, okay.
Who's your favorite witch in history?
I don't really know many, because I never met them.
Yeah?
I'm only like baby years compared to how long ago they were alive.
Yeah. How long ago do you think it was?
I don't know. Probably like 50 years ago. 80, 150 years ago. I'm not really good at math.
It was before this
country.
I was
born. I know.
Yep. Before you were born. Nailed it. Second time.
Great. Call me the hammer. Stop nailing them jokes.
I think I talked about it in a previous episode, but have you watched American Horror Story?
Sometimes.
Every season is a different theme. So the first season was just American Horror Story, and I really enjoyed that season. Like, it was actually spooky.
Mm-hmm.
There was lots of twists and turns. The second season was Asylum, which I thought was going to be really cool and then wasn't, because it wasn't spooky. It was just depressing.
Yeah, I think that's the one I saw, where I was just like, oh man, I'm so sad.
Yeah. It's hard to get invested with the characters, because everyone's just sad all the time.
Yeah.
And then the third season was Salem, which has to do with witches.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be really good. And like towards the end of the season, there was all this great buildup. Like they're leading to something really neat. And I was like, if they go this direction, it'll be really cool. And then they didn't. And I haven't watched American Horror Story since.
My favorite part of the story was the part where you said that you haven't watched American Horror Story since.
I suggest watching the first season and maybe Freak Show. I haven't finished Freak Show, but there's a really creepy clown in it.
And I think that has something to do maybe with the clown appearances around the United States.
It could be. They look similar to the clown that's in that season.
Yeah, I think he might have inspired people's subconscious. Yeah. The subconscious viewer of America.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to Trends Like These, and they said that the original clown started in Wisconsin, and it was a viral marketing campaign for an indie film up there.
Oh, great.
And then eventually they showed up in North Carolina, and it wasn't connected. But I read this other theory online that people think that all like that whole thing in North Carolina started out as a viral marketing campaign for the new It movie that's coming out.
Ah, that would make a lot of sense.
It would make a lot of sense.
That'd be really good publicity.
It would be.
I've heard them mention It.
Yeah.
And in the media, mm-hmm, when they're talking about these stories.
Yeah.
And I thought that it might have been, I don't know, that'd be a good idea for them.
I went back and...
Except for the stabbing.
Yeah. But you can't predict that stuff.
Nah, there's always going to be outliers.
Yeah.
People that do take something fun and make it dumb.
Yeah. I watched the It movie. It was like a made-for-TV movie, a two-parter. I watched it recently, and I think it's really good still.
I haven't seen It.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I watched it when I was way too young, and it scarred me.
It scarred you?
Yeah. Scarred.
Oh.
As in not scared, but like emotionally scarred.
Not like Gucci Mane, scarred. Don't be scarred. I don't know what song that's from. That's not Gucci Mane. He's just on my mind today.
Yeah. Let's get back on topic.
Okay.
Wow. Witches. Let's talk about them.
Okay.
Witches are cool, right?
Yeah.
Practicing the black magic. Got black cats. I also, oh my God, I'm sorry, I'm going to go off on a bunch of tangents today, but I read an article where a lot of adoption centers for animals won't adopt black cats around Halloween because mm-hmm. they're afraid that people are going to sacrifice the black cats.
Yep, and being involved with the animal industry, if you want to call it that, I know all about that stuff.
Yeah, and that's so sad.
I don't think it's, I mean, I hope not, but I don't know if there's any truth behind it or if it's just superstition.
Well, it's just superstition.
But I don't think there's any, as far as I know, like, cases documented.
Oh,
this
okay.
is what they did. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Witches, right? Stealing our black cats.
Damn witches.
Oh my God. I just remember Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I haven't thought of that in years.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. So we're talking about witches, but specifically, there's one black spot on our nation's history known as
slavery and slaughtering the Native Americans and lying and corruption in the government and,
in relation to witches.
Oh, Salem.
Yes. Salem, Massachusetts, also known as the Salem Witch Trials, which is now a tourist spot that many people just profit on tourists.
Yeah. From. Real so, deaths.
Yeah. Real let's profit signs. Off of real death. Yay. So we need to go back to the beginning.
Okay.
Of witches. Not even Salem. I said a couple weeks ago that witches really started to pop up when the Vatican wanted more power. So they would accuse any opposition
of being a witch.
That was 1235 AD. By the 1300s, the fear of witches had basically spread all across Europe. It was believed if you practiced the devil's magic or worshipped him, the devil would grant you immense power, black magic, all that incantation stuff. Also, people like you or I could sell our loyalty to a witch if the witch did something for us in return, like hurt someone or granted us immortality or something like that.
So, okay, I get that part. But it sounds like a good deal, you know? Okay, great.
What's to lose?
I'm loyal to this witch. Now what? What are they buying from you? Their soul? What was the belief mythology?
The big thing is like your soul.
Okay.
So once you die, they get your soul.
So if you're an atheist, you're like, sucker.
Sucker. The fear spread almost until the 1700s. It started to die down toward the end of the 1600s. But that didn't stop it from hitting Salem, Massachusetts in 1692.
Dun, 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 dun.
And so starts our journey to Salem.
I want to know where the first appearance of a witch was. Where did they originate?
There was kind of predecessors to witches. And I think the first time that they cropped up was in the Bible, where King Saul consulted with the so-called Witch of Endor, which is an awesome name because Endor is the planet that they go to in the Star Wars movie. Return of the Jedi.
Oh, you were going to go specific.
Yeah.
Neat.
And it kind of propagated through Greek mythology, where it was enchantresses, they could transform creatures and beings and that sort of thing.
So they just are always seen as untrustworthy. I guess in the story of Saul, he talks about how he got tricked or whatever, something like that.
The witch's deal was that she summoned a guy named Samuel and basically told Saul that him and his army would all die in battle, and so Saul killed himself. So she didn't do anything wrong, but as many things go, if you're the bearer of bad news in history, people usually associate you with bad things.
Yeah, and that's why people say snitches get witches.
Yeah, witches get snitches.
Yeah.
I also want to point out, I said before they go to Endor, they go to the moons of Endor. That was my bad. And I know someone would be like, he got it wrong, because that's how Star Wars fans are. But
yeah. I read the Bible. I read the Bible. King Saul goes to the moon of Endor to consult the witches. Yeah, I remember that.
Speeder bikes, Ewoks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. So back to Salem in 1692. During this time, Salem was under a lot of strain, to say the least. In 1689, this was pre-Revolutionary War, so the U.S. wasn't its own country yet. England still had a hold of us. And England got this great idea to go to war with the French Canadians, which were up north of Massachusetts, up in New York and Quebec and that sort of thing.
Is that why Canadians are known as violent warmongering folk?
Yeah.
Okay.
You should see, the first time. See those Mounties.
Oof. Gives me a chill just thinking about all those nice folks and their syrup.
And their bacon.
And their politeness.
Sorry.
Don't talk about bacon in front of me.
Canadian bacon.
Vegan Canadian bacon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever you want. So this war displaced a lot of people. And a lot of those people moved south where the war wasn't, and that ended up being in small towns like Salem. And Salem wasn't the only place that this happened, but there ended up being a lot of homeless people. There's a lot of outsiders, a lot of xenophobia going on, which is still a problem today. Lots of stress, to say the least, in this town. So this kind of sets the scene for people ready to turn on each other at the drop of a hat. The interesting thing about the Salem witch trials is that we can actually trace the entire incident back to one event, which is back in January of 1692. There were, so this was 3 years after the war started.
What was the name of the war?
It had a really dumb name. It was literally just called King William's War.
Good.
That's what the colonists called it. I don't know if we have a different name for it now. This is coming from the Smithsonian.
So. Sure. Well, Billy's battle would have won, but nobody was into it.
So 3 years after the war started, two girls, the daughter and niece of the town's minister, start having violent fits. They start to convulse. They're like writhing on the ground. They're yelling. They're throwing things, throwing tantrums. And apparently they started hallucinating things. A doctor was called in, and he said that the girls had been bewitched, which is a... I mean, that sounds like a proper diagnosis.
Yeah, it sounds like someone came up and said, "What's wrong with these women? Oh, they're, bewitched. They're bewitched." Yeah. No, yeah, no, definitely.
Definitely. It didn't help that Salem was full of Puritans, so they needed to find out who had bewitched these two girls and who was doing the devil's work in this quaint little town. Eventually, they brought these girls into court. And in court, the girls started spasming and having the convulsions that they had in the home. And the girls were put under even more pressure to tell who had bewitched them. So eventually they named three women.
Oh, good job.
Yeah. And
great.
Two of them denied it. And one person was a Caribbean slave to the minister and said that she had done it, which sparked this whole mass hysteria. Dogs and cats living together. Bill Murray. It spiraled out of control from there, and it doesn't help that a lot of things happened at once, starting with xenophobia. There were a lot of strangers in the town, and everyone started accusing everyone else of being witches.
So the first American witch was black? So a black American witch, woman?
Quote unquote witch, yes.
Cool. So that's terrible.
Yeah. So have you heard of McCarthyism?
Yeah.
The Red Scare?
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on those?
I don't like Mike and Molly. I never watched that.
What about the, have you heard of The Crucible?
Yeah.
The play?
Yeah.
So how are these connected, right? How's Mike and Molly connected to The Crucible? Well, The Crucible was written by Arthur Miller, and he used the events of the Salem witch trials as an allegory for the Red Scare.
Cool, because I studied The Crucible in school, and I don't remember anything.
You don't remember any of it?
No.
Well, let me start with the Red Scare. So the Red Scare was a period of time during the Cold War where everyone would just kind of accuse everyone else of being a communist or a communist spy for Soviet Russia. And when they did that, it would basically ruin that person's career or they'd be put in jail. And the reason they did that is because either the accuser legitimately believed this other person was a communist or they just didn't like the cut of that person's jib and wanted them to get in life-ruining trouble. Or the accuser had been accused of being a communist, so they blamed someone else. They accused someone else of being a communist to shift the blame off of themselves. And that's exactly what happened during the Salem witch trials, which is why Arthur Miller wrote this, just to be like, guys, you're being dumb. Because people would accuse people of being witches, or they'd believe that they were actually witches, or they didn't like the person so they'd say they were a witch, or they'd want to shift the focus to someone else.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the first thing that spread this mass hysteria. The second piece is actually mass hysteria. I don't think that a lot of people know that mass hysteria is an actual thing. Like, it's a phrase that we throw around, but it's an actual phenomenon.
Yeah.
And you know about mass hysteria.
Yep. It was scary, spooky scary. Like, a bunch of ladies and gentlemen were screaming their little faces off and running around in their drawers and rolling around in the dirt.
Well, I think you're thinking of the time where, like, someone started dancing and then just, like, everyone in this area started dancing for days and days.
Oh, yeah. That did happen.
That did happen.
Yeah. That was a rough weekend.
It's a historical event that did happen.
Yeah, crazy. I would say. Thanks, Ricky. Thanks for bringing all those beers, Ricky.
And that cornfield Burning Man or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So we could do a whole episode on mass hysteria, except our friends over at Stuff You Should Know already has.
Mm-hmm.
So go listen to that. And there's this really good episode of House that I saw, coincidentally, recently, about mass hysteria that succinctly sums the whole thing up.
Did you see their Halloween episode a couple years ago?
Uh-uh.
It was called Haunted House.
Oh, man. I need to start seeing these coming, and I never do. I never do. 14 episodes in, you'd think I learn. I don't. Sure don't. So, mass hysteria is a condition where phantom illness or symptoms start taking over just this group of people. It transmits from person to person due to fear of the illness. Like in the episode of House, this guy on a plane gets this rash and an awful cough. He looks like he's about to die. This other girl sees this guy's rash and all of his coughs, and she gets really worried that she's going to get contaminated because they're on a plane, recycled air, that sort of thing. And so she starts to develop a rash and a cough. In reality, she was never sick, but had the fear that actually manifested itself into these symptoms. It's weird stuff. The thing is, the person that sparks the hysteria usually is actually suffering from something, and then the other person develops. That's why when a disease or infection is supposedly floating around like Ebola, there's always that Ebola scare. Mm-hmm. Everyone's always really careful to announce it, because then doctor visits spike, because everyone's like, oh no, I have Ebola. Look at me. I'm really sick over here and showing the symptoms. It's because you're worrying about it too much.
Yeah, and then there's that one guy who's like, I don't got Ebola. I just got a bowl of noodles. And then someone coughs in his soup and he goes, oh, I got it too.
Where was I going with that?
Sorry if my great-great joke stopped you.
Yeah, your great-great jokes keep derailing me. So the point I want to make, though, is that the originator of the hysteria usually has something wrong with them. And the other weird thing is that mass hysteria is more likely to affect women for whatever reason. No idea why. But that's where it ties back into Salem.
Is that sexist? Because wasn't there that whole situation where women would say, oh, you just are hysterical. And they would call women hysterical and like misdiagnose them.
Well, the phrase itself could be sexist.
Did it originate from that?
Okay. I think it did, because back in the day, probably even before mass hysteria was a thing, hysteria referred to women.
Their ovaries roaming around their body?
Pretty much, yeah. Like, they just go crazy.
Yeah.
And the solution was to make...
Oh, man, this is a family show.
Yeah.
I know what they did.
Yeah.
I know. They know what they did.
They forced adult times upon the woman to calm her down. Does that work?
I don't know. They masturbated.
They made them orgasm.
Yeah. Except, here's the thing. I don't understand why these women were being so crazy. They were just being oppressed by men and told what to do and kept inside all day. Made baby makers.
Yeah.
I don't see what went wrong.
Yeah. Trump 2016. So here's what it ties back into Salem.
Okay.
These girls had accidentally caused mass hysteria within the entire town of Salem. After people saw the two girls writhing in the courtroom, other girls started to be quote-unquote infected with demons as well.
Yeah, those dang demons.
Yeah.
You cough on your sleeve and you think you sanitize enough, you can never scrub them away.
Yeah, so these girls started also having fits and convulsions and stuff. That's part two. But as I said before, these two girls had to be affected with something.
Boredom?
Maybe they're
eating mercury? Because they probably did.
You're almost hitting everything. So we don't know what caused these two girls to go into these wild convulsions and fits and everything. But I think there's three really good ideas on this. The first thing was boredom.
Cool.
The girls were just kept inside all day. They were bored and they just were angry. So they started to throw fits and it spiraled out of control. The second thing is they were young girls. They were like, I think 9 and 11. They're going through puberty. So they could have just been girls going through puberty. People get mad when they go through puberty.
And they're just throwing a fit. People were weird back then. Don't you ever think about the stuff that's like not documented in history books? Like the weird stuff people probably used to do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like,
I'm the elbow licker. I'll lick your elbows for a nickel. Goes around doing that. Like, he's not going to be written about in a book, but he probably existed over the millions of people.
Elbow licking stand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lick your elbow for a nickel.
Nickel for a nickel. That sounds dirty.
Lickle for a nickel. That was his catchphrase.
Great marketing. The third thing, which I think is the most likely, was ergot poisoning or ergot poisoning. Probably ergot poisoning. It's ergot poisoning.
Ergot poisoned.
During the time, there was apparently this ergot fungus contaminated and spread over rye grains, so bread and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When consumed, the fungus can cause you to have fits and hallucinations like the girls had originally had. And I think this is the most reasonable explanation, because that explains the girls' behavior and also explains how many other people could get swept into the mass hysteria if they're also eating this contaminated rye grain.
Yeah.
So that's why we started killing witches in Salem, for the most part. Lots of fear. We could go into the details of witches, but I think everyone kind of knows witches. They can summon the dead. They can transform creatures and people into other things. They can make potions, all sorts of things.
Yeah, whatever humans want to make up.
Yeah, but the fear, as many things do, started from religion.
Yep.
In the end, 20 people were killed, and apparently 2 dogs were as well. Don't ask me.
That really messes with my brains.
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
I don't know why.
You ever watch a movie and you're like, okay, this is great, and people die, and you're like, oh, man, gross. And then a dog dies, and you get your money back?
That's not the direction I thought you were going. Yeah. But yes, I do. Isn't there a website out there that tells you if a dog dies in the movie?
Well, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but a dog dies in The Witch. Because I looked up the synopsis.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And that's not a spoiler. It's a helper.
It's a nice little tip.
As far as I read, that's from the Wikipedia synopsis.
We should watch that movie.
I don't know.
You don't?
I mean, I guess I'll watch that. Here's the other thing. Whenever that happens, I'm always like, all right, that dog got to be in a movie. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't get to be in the movie.
That dog made a lot more money than we probably make in a month.
Chillin' eating blue buffalo. Yeah.
So 19 people were hanged to death. I don't understand that lexicon, but they were hanged to death.
When are you supposed to use hung? Just William Hung, that's it? He called it?
He's got trademarks.
Okay.
If
that's why it's hanged. It used to be hung before him.
Right. If we say that 19 people were hung to death, then we'd owe him money.
Okay. That makes sense.
So
bleep those out.
Yep. Got it. I didn't do that. And one guy was pressed to death by stones.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, that's...
You think the guy that made that up was eating bread while he was making that up?
Probably. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, let's put some rocks on him.
You know, the dramatic irony is, I'll get to this a little bit later.
The dramatic irony of rye? Go on.
I know, I get it.
Because of wheat?
No, I get it.
It has iron.
No, I get it.
It's a good source.
I get it.
It's good for your blood.
The one of the tests that they would do to see if someone was a witch was they would take rye and urine from the girl and make it into a cake. And then somehow that would identify if the woman
if the
witch.
Cake was disgusting, yeah. You're a witch? Okay.
If it tasted
like
urine.
Let's put urine in this cake. Yeah. Okay.
So cool. I just thought that was ironic. There was a quick judicial system that was thrown together where it was one guy that would hear the accused's story, so the hearing, and then another guy that would make the decision. So he's basically a one-man jury of whether they were a witch or not. You could plead guilty or not guilty. That was it.
And not guilty got you killed, probably. Just the same.
All of them got you killed because there was 5 steps to the hearing process. The first step was a test of
throw you in a river?
Well, yes. There was a swimming test. So like if you floated on water.
Then you're a witch. And if you fall and drown, you're innocent.
Right.
Yeah.
They might have you recite the Lord's Prayer. And if you couldn't get through it, then you had the devil inside of you. There was scratching tests where they'd like scratch you and see how you reacted. And have you seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Yeah.
That duck scene, it was a real thing. They did that. They weighed you against a duck, and if the duck was heavier than you, you were a witch.
But the duck's not going to be heavier than you, right? So you're not a witch.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to get out of it, then.
Yeah, but that's not how it worked, because 20 people died.
Oh.
The second thing was they would look for warts or birthmarks on your body, because if you had anything like that, it was a area that the devil could enter your body through. According to these people. The third thing was an eyewitness report, which during times of mass hysteria, we can always trust eyewitness reports, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fourth thing was if someone saw a spectral projection that sort of resembled the accused, then they were definitely a witch. Because the fifth thing was a confession. And I guess if they didn't confess, they'd still kill you. Because the guy that was pressed to death by stones wouldn't give testimony, so they killed him. Seems fair.
Well, he didn't cooperate.
So kill him, yeah.
Well,
I get it.
That's how our political system works today.
I'm not sure that's true. You
gotta cooperate with the officer.
Well, they won't kill you. Well, okay. Let's not go there. Not going there. You asked me earlier today, what about burning at the stake?
Yes.
I did tell you a little bit about this. We talked about this before. We don't talk about what I researched, but I did tell you that 19 people died from being hanged.
Yep.
And one person was killed by stones. And you asked me, what about burning at the stake?
Yeah.
What's your theory on that?
I thought that was like the deal. I thought that you burned at the stake for a witch in Salem.
It's a trope, right?
Yeah.
Halfway through American Horror Story, spoilers of Salem, they burn a lady at the stake and then she comes back to life. It's this huge trope. Turns out that in Salem, it didn't happen there. It was mostly done during the Spanish Inquisition. They would burn witches during that. another religious thing. Great, great job. They also did stuff. There's tons of ways that people have killed witches. They drown them, they put them in an Iron Maiden, or they burn them at the stake, but not during Salem. So that's at least one good thing. So all of this happened within the span of about a year. 20 people were killed, and around 200 people were accused of being witches. So that's like a person accused every other day almost, and one person killed every 20 days, all within a population of about 2,000 people. Good, great job.
Oy vey.
I know. It's good stuff. But there you go. There's some of the things that you might not know about Salem. You want to recap for me?
Yeah. America was awful. Pretty bad. Pretty bad job, guys. Everybody was super high, tweaking out on rye bread. And they're like, yep. I'm scared of everything. Mm-hmm. You're a witch, you're a witch, you're a witch.
Everyone gets witches.
Yep.
Look under your seat, there's witches. Like my Oprah impression.
I thought I was
coming from a white male.
I felt like I was right there.
In the studio?
Right
check in under your seat.
Oh, Nicholas.
It's a crooked nose and a wart.
Oh my goodness gracious.
From a real witch.
Yeah, that's witches.
You're telling me that I should take my daughter to a witch doctor.
We have found a witch, may we burn our
banner!
Hey, real quick. Everyone should go out and review us on iTunes. It takes like 2 seconds.
And it makes us like 2 times happier.
Yeah, at least 2 times, if not 3. We also have tons of interaction. If you have like listener questions you want us to answer, you can go find us on Twitter.
Stranger Still.
You did the same thing that you did.
Yeah, because I was like, didn't know what I was going to talk about.
Yeah. Also on Facebook, that's where we have a lot of interaction. Just search for Stranger Still. Find the one that's us.
Yep. And make sure to request us on myspace.com/strangerstill.
Yep. Let's get to a listener question. And this listener question, I don't know who asked it, and I feel really bad about it, but I couldn't find who asked it. So whoever asked it, good job, you. Their question was, why is candy corn called candy corn? Tastes nothing like candy. Looks almost nothing like
corn. Is it Paolo?
It might have been Paolo, but I don't know. I don't want to credit the wrong person.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't deserve it.
Well, the answer is really, really boring.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is good podcast content.
Hold
Nick.
On. Let me get all comfy.
Yep.
Okay. I'm settled.
So the original candy corn came from Jelly Belly. Are they vegan? I know they're vegetarian.
No. I think they put the cartilage and bones of animals into their belly beans?
Are you talking about gelatin? They don't have gelatin in them.
Really?
Yeah, Shelby can have them.
Then I can eat them.
Maybe. We'll check it out. So the recipe is actually, the recipe today is the same exact recipe they had when they were first around. So I was kind of disappointed to find out that it wasn't one of those things where it starts off as one thing and then like the flavors change, but the name stays the same.
Yeah.
So like it didn't originally taste like corn, and then now it tastes like gross sugar and corn
syrup.
Syrup.
Starch?
Maybe that's where it comes from. I just put that together. Oh my god. It comes from high fructose corn syrup, so maybe that's where it came from. But the nearest thing I could find was that it was originally called chicken feed, which is obviously like corn and stuff. And
yeah.
All that. But it's really just a name made up by Jelly Belly and Jelly Belly Corporation or whoever candy corn went to after that. But it's due to the shape, which is like an entire corn kernel, not the ones you get out of a can. Like if you extracted a single kernel out of a corn cob, that's what it looks like. And it also has those layers. They're not as defined, but it has those layers that you find in candy corn.
Guys, if you just want to tone out right now, I moved to Iowa a couple years ago, but Nick's been here his whole life. If you ask an Iowan about corn, they're going on for a really long time. So it's cool. Just Aww. Make sure to listen next week. Oh, that's really interesting, Nicholas.
Shucks. Get it?
Tell me. No.
BuzzFeed.
You've got my ears. Go on.
Oh, goodness gracious. BuzzFeed had this picture where candy corn was stacked in a cone to look like a corn cob, and they say that that's why it's called candy corn, but I don't think they put that much thought into it. I think it's just that it looks like a kernel of corn. Happy Iowa, everyone.
Well, let's start calling it chicken feed.
Let's start calling it chicken feed.
Jelly Belly's chicken feed.
Yep.
Eat them up good. That's the catchphrase for it.
Eat them up good.
How was that for marketing?
Flawless.
I was born to corn.
All right. Well, should we put a nice little bow on this thing?
Yeah.
I'm still Nickenstein.
I'm John Boogieman.
And this has been Stranger Steel.